Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour, about noon. The Jewish time was different than ours. Their day started at 6 o'clock in the evening. It's been a new day. And or 6 o'clock, what is it, 6 o'clock in the morning. Ours start at midnight, our new day. Their new day started at 6 in the morning, so the sixth hour would have been noon. All right? Now verse number 7. It says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Notice the parentheses. We talked about Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 being kind of a parentheses or a parenthetical kind of little information. And this is in parentheses, so Jesus is giving a little additional information. He says, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. The disciples are down at Walmart, the supercenter. All right? And he's going to sit at the well. He's going to be talking to a woman. And while they're gone, doing some errands. That just kind of gives you a little extra information there. Because if it wasn't there, you say, well, where was his disciples? Why didn't they get him some water? You know, you just get little information. Now verse number 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Scripture. We thank you for bringing us together tonight. Teach us something tonight that will help us to be better Christians, to help us to be better servants, to help us to be better witnesses. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Looking forward next Sunday evening, I've asked Larissa to give us, she's got a little presentation, some pictures and slides and one thing and another of her time on the mission. And you pray for Jay tomorrow as we enter some marriage counseling. Won't be pretty hard on him. No, I'm not. But I do want to get to know this couple a little bit better. I know Jay. I think I know him. We'll find out. But I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to them coming back and being a productive member of New Hope Baptist Church. And so we just thank the Lord for it. So you pray for her as she gives us a kind of little report on next Sunday evening. All right? Meeting the Savior. I cannot get all this said tonight, so this will be part one of a two-part, maybe three-part series. But we see here the Lord meeting with this Samaritan woman. Now, one of the first things that I recognize in our text is that this woman, from all indications, have you ever met someone that is just bent, I mean, just by the expression on their face, maybe their attire, maybe just the way they hold themselves, they look like they have just been worn out by life. I mean, we used to have an expression, we've been rode hard and put up wet. You know? And I picture this woman, she's kind of sneaking out to the well at midday. I mean, most people go get their daily water supply early morning. One of the things that, I found out about the Drumville by some of the brethren up in Fairbanks that went to there and saw it, the Drumville church. One of the village there, every day they send their kids out to find water. And it was one of the chores. They go out and they find water wherever they might be. It might be a muddy creek or whatever, but they bring back water. And so because of their daily routines of going to water, they don't get to go to school that much. And one of the things is bathroom probably, we're going to be bringing water into it. They will be coming to the church to get water. You know, outside have a pump or a spigot or something, and fill those jugs up, and they're coming to get the physical water, and there's also going to be living water there at the church. I thought it was pretty cool. Bringing that water, that physical, are going to bring the village to the church. Amen. I'm excited. Let's go build that bathroom. Who had ever thought of a bathroom? A toilet will bring people to Christ. True. Amen. If God can use a toilet, He can use you. That's a thought. Amen. Yeah. That's a thought. I don't even know. Am I being recorded tonight? Oh, there you go. All right. I didn't realize my tech man was back there. All right. Thank you. But it's so true. It is so true. Huh? No, it's true. I'll just let you add it out, the stupid stuff. But it's, God can use a toilet. He can use you and I. So true. I'm so looking forward. For those of you that maybe just got in on that, we're talking about a mission project that we've got going on in Drumville, Nairobi, Africa, or Kenya, Africa. All right? So I see here this woman, she's just wore out by life. She has been around and around and around. She's been riding the marriage, I told this a couple of weeks, the marriage go-round. Later on, as the Lord talks to her, and she's going to reveal that I have no husband. He said, oh, you're right. You've had five. And the one that you're living with now is not your husband. She has been on the marriage go-round, around and around. She's been drinking from a lot of wells and coming away just as thirsty as when she went there the first time. It's a sad story. I mean, a sad case, a happy story because she meets the Lord. Amen. I just love to hear the testimonies of people who, and hear what their life was before they met Jesus. She's been drinking from every well around her. But she has left them just as thirsty as when she came. On this particular day, though, Jesus shows up. Jesus comes in on the scene. He shows up outside of her little town. Now, we're going to consider this conversation. And I said this will be part one of however many parts we need. Between Christ and this woman. The Lord is going to talk with this woman about several things. The first thing is about this water and the importance of this water. Notice four things about this water. First of all, I note a petition for water. Jesus says, give me to drink. Jesus is the one that's given the petition. He says there in verse number 7, give me to drink. Verse 8 says, for his disciples, and there's that parenthesis, kind of giving us an idea, why she was there to give him drink, why he didn't ask Peter to give me to drink. Because the disciples weren't there. They're down, remember, at Walmart. They're gone. It says, verse number 8, for his disciples were gone away into the city. This well must have been outside, right on the city limits, on the outskirts of the town, to buy meat. And then verse number 9 says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, first of all, as we look at this petition that Christ makes, I want you to note what was the reason for the petition? Christ, first of all, he's tired and he's thirsty. Where did he come from to go to this? He's in the town. We know from the verse number 5, he's in the town called Sychar, which is in Samaria. He has left, according to verse number, verse number 3, he had left Judah. We talked about that word left. It means to be abandoned. It means to abandon Judah. Of all the places, Christ was born of the tribe of Judah. Of all the tribes, of all the areas, of all the providence that should have given Christ a welcome. But that also fulfilled the scriptures. He came into his own, and his own received him not. So he leaves. What a sad picture that. To leave. He left Judah. But he said, I must needs, unlike the other Jews that skirted around, many of those there, Judah, you have a picture of, I should have a map out here, and I'll have one maybe in the next week. I'll have that. Have the picture of the Israel. You have the Jordan coming down into you've got Galilee and then the Jordan and the Dead Sea. And then you've got Bethlehem and Jerusalem to the, if you're looking at it, to the right or the left. To the east, you have the Jordan River. They would go just above the Dead Sea and go across Jordan and then back up into Galilee above Samaria. They would go out of their way. Have you ever done that? Come on now. The grocery store? You see somebody you don't want to talk to? Huh? Come on, let's be honest. Is it? Really? Huh? I mean, I know some people. Listen, I'm being honest. I mean, you start a conversation, you're going to be there an hour. I just don't have the time. I'm sorry. You know, I've seen him. No, I'm not talking about you, hon. So you skirt around them. Larissa, have you ever done that? God loves honest people. All right? But we have. Uh-oh. Where did I go? Push that car. The Jews would not have nothing to do with the Samaritans. They would go out of their way, though. Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. I'm glad he came through my neighborhood one day. The reason for this petition. Well, first of all, Christ is tired. He's thirsty. So he says, give me to drink. Give me to drink. It's the sixth hour. It's in the middle of the day, the hottest time of the day. He has come from Jerusalem. According to my map, it's probably 28 to 27 miles, Sychar, from Jerusalem. He left Judah, which is in Jerusalem, and so he's been walking most of the day. The other night we were getting ready for the marathon. We're going to do that three. I didn't realize how long 3 miles was. It's really not that long, but you hadn't walked it in a while, you know. I did it pretty fast because I thought if I stopped, it wouldn't start back. So we just kept on walking. And we do a mile in 18 minutes, 19 minutes, something like that. That's not real fast, but it's, you know, we weren't, you know, strolling. You know, we're walking. So in just a little while, we done 3 miles. The Lord's traveled about 28, 27 miles, not on a bike path or a sidewalk, but rough terrain. So he gets there, and he's tired, he's weary, he's thirsty. And so here's the reason for the petition. I'm thirsty, says verse number six. That Jesus, therefore, being weary with the journey. It's a long journey. Now, I want you to note something about Christ here. He was not weary of the work. He was weary in the work. There's a big difference. There is a big difference. He is not weary of the work. He is weary in the work. Certainly, there are times when we become weary in the work for the Lord, but we should never become weary of the work. There are times when I, as a pastor, I become weary in the work. I don't think I've ever been weary of the work. There are times I have to come out of the work, come out of the come aside and recharge our batteries, so to speak, or you know, re-energize ourselves. Do you realize that pastors from time to time need preaching to? That's why I utilize some of sermon audio, and I like to listen to other preachers. I need fed. You ever get tired of your own cooking? The same way with preachers. So I like to sit down and, you know, have somebody else feed me up. The Lord is there. He's weary. Not of the way, but in the way. And Christ being thirsty reminds us that even though we are doing the will of God, we often need to stop and replenish our physical bodies. Now, while I believe that some people put way too much emphasis on the physical. We hear a lot about the physical nowadays. I wonder about the spiritual. I wonder why we don't see as many television commercials advertising, you know, taking care of the spiritual man as we do the physical man. I mean, we've got everybody from Marie Osmond, you know, Nutrisystem. How she used to be here, but now it's here, you know. And she's lost 50 pounds and kept it off and all of that. And that's, I mean, there's a lot there about the physical. I'd like to see some commercials about taking care of the spiritual man. Now, you don't get that on secular TV. But if we don't take care of the physical, then we may cut our service for the Lord short. Understand that. Notice the revelation that we have in this petition. The thirst and the weariness of Christ speaks of and reveals to us His humanity. He is the God-man. 100% God, also 100% man. He's not half and half. So remember, He's the God-man. Although Christ was divine, He was indeed human. And the divine aspect comes out in His message. No man ever spake like Him. And also His discernment. Later on, whenever He delivers His message to this woman, he reveals to her. She says, "Oh, you're a prophet." She's had five husbands, and the one that she's lived with is no longer her, not even her husband. And so there's His discernment. And so we see His divinity. We see the divine part in His message and in also His discernment. But we hear in His weariness, we see His human side. You believe He actually got out of breath? That's what happens when I get weary and I'm walking. I'm human. I don't know what other people are thinking all the time, so because I'm not divine. But the Lord, He is human. He is weary. Let me show you. There are several scriptures where we see the both combined. Go with me over to Matthew right quick. Matthew chapter 8. And verse number 23. Yeah. Here we have a picture of the divine and the human at the same place. Verse number 23, the Bible says, "And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep." Huh. I mean, waves are crossing over. You've seen the show The Deadliest Catch and those crab boats out there and the waves crashing over the bow and coming in. That's what I see. And yet the Lord is down there in His bunk or on a pillow and He is asleep. Verse number 25 says, "And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him." He is sound asleep. Oh my goodness. "Saying, Lord, Lord, save us. We perish. We're going down. We're taking on water. We've already pumped. We got them all on the pumps and they're bailing and everything's going on. Come on, Lord." Look here. Verse 26, "And He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked." In this little passage here, we have seen the human side. He is fast asleep. He's tired. He's fast asleep in the storm. Now, His disciples come and wake Him up, and He gets up. Now we see the God part. "He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm." Wow. The God-man. Verse number 27 says, "But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him?" Wow. I don't know about you, but that's my Savior. That's my Lord. That's my God. Let me show you another portion. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We there? Look at verse number 32. I'll call on some of you to read. Brian, you want to? I'm joking too. I'm just picking on you. He's been down. He's tired. He's weary. He's not divine. look at John 11 and verse number 32. The Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Of course, this is about her brother Lazarus, who has died. Jesus will raise him from the dead. But notice, she said, "If you had only been here, I know you could have taken care of him. I know you could have healed him. I know if you'd only been here, we wouldn't be where we're at right now." Sometimes in our grief, we can even start getting blaming, you know. That's why when I was doing some training and doing at the hospital as a chaplain, they said never be, you know, taken back. When people are in grief, they're going to say all kinds of things. Mary just lost a brother. She had sent word for the Lord. He had delayed his coming. And she said, "If you had only been here, I wouldn't be in the mess I am right now." That's what she said. "If you'd only been here." Almost blaming him. Huh. Now look here. Verse number 32, "Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Verse 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled." That's very human, isn't it? He groaned in his spirit. He is very troubled at Mary's heartache. He sees Mary and all of her friends and the relatives weeping, all of them with her, and he is moved. Verse number 34, "And said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see." Now they're going to the grave. Jesus gets to the grave, and verse number 35, it says, Jesus wept. You've seen people do that, haven't you? Go to the cemetery and they see the marker of a loved one today, and the thoughts come back and the emotions and they weep. We're talking about the God man. We're seeing the man side. He's troubled because Mary is troubled, and now he's standing at the grave of his friend, Mary and Martha's brother, and Jesus weeps. I like that, actually. That I serve a God that knows how I feel from time to time. He's not a God of stone or wood that, you know, can't be moved. Now notice this. Verse number 36. "Then said the Jews..." It lost my place. "There, then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him." They saw him weeping, and the Jews, those people, they said, "Boy, he really loved him. He really loves Mary. He really loves Martha. He loves his family. Look at him." Now, it says verse 37, some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died? Even they're starting to question. Well, we've seen him do other miracles. He opened the blinded man's eyes. Couldn't he have just spoke the word and said, Lazarus, don't die? Wait till I get there? Or wait, you know, hang on. He says he's God. Now look here. Verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. Groaning. Cometh to the grave. It is a cave. There was a cave. And a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, we've been talking about Mary. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, and by this time he stinketh. I mean, she said, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now, they didn't have the embalming. My father-in-law works in the funeral home industry, and they do remarkable things. You would see people brought in that died in horrible crashes, and you say, well, they'll never have an open casket. Boy, they do quite a bit of work. I didn't want to see my mother, but I was glad I did. You know, some people say, oh, that's kind of morbid, and I don't like to do that. I think there's a healing that takes place in it, because that little drawled up body that, you know, she was in the nursing home, and when she died, just all relaxed and limp, and, you know, that drawn face and that drawn hand, all was, she never looks better. Never looks so good. I mean, it's been a while. And to see that, and also know that she's running the streets of gold and rejoicing in heaven, it did something. It was therapeutic for me. Martha said, hey, wait a minute. I know you got good intentions, but he stinketh by now. Been dead 4 days. Notice verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now I want you to note this. He's praying. And he lifts up his eyes and he's saying, he's talking to the Father. He says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. All right? Now, we, from time to time, we will call on people to lead in public prayer, to lead us in prayer. And some people say, well, that's kind of vain. And it's kind of like the Pharisee standing up and praying and, you know, and all that. I don't think so. I think the Lord said there's something to this. Because I want you to note this. Verse number 42 says, Jesus said, I know that thou hearest me always. Whether you pray silently, whether you lead in public prayer, whether you pray audibly, the Lord hears. The Lord knows all about us when we don't say nothing. He said, I know thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I say it. Sometimes I go to the hospital, and you know what the people want? Preacher, pray for me. What should I do? Stand there. No, you know what they want? They want to hear from my lips me calling their name before their Heavenly Father. asking them to, asking God to be graceful to them and merciful to them and help them and strengthen them and encourage that it encourages them. They could pray, they could probably, and some of them probably would get a prayer through faster than I would. But they want, there's something about hearing the, Jesus said right here is a good example. Everybody around there is weeping. They're sad. They're at a funeral, or they've had a funeral. He stinks by now. And the Lord said, because of them, I say this. I know you hear me all the time. You hear me when I'm just thinking, when it's not audible. So it might ought to make us think from time to time. And I know instead of scaring you, when we're called on to pray publicly or pray, we're not just talking to the Lord. We're talking for the benefit of others too. Now, if you're pharisaical and you're just praying for to be heard, the Lord will take that up with you too. But Jesus said this. He said, because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. I've often said, I cannot make everybody be a believer. But I can sure make everybody believe that I'm a believer. Larissa went on a mission trip, a hard mission trip, didn't she? Didn't see a lot of results. No. But I guarantee you, when she left there, they might not have been believers in Christ, but they believed that this young lady was a believer. A lot to be said there. I might not be able to make all of Craig, Alaska believers, but by the time I finish my life here, I want them to say, we had a believer amongst us. I want them to believe that I was a believer. That's what the Lord's saying here. Now notice, verse number 43. And we've seen all the human side. Now here comes the God part. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, prayed, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! I love this. Lazarus! He didn't have to do it twice. He just did it once. When somebody calls us, Fred, how many times do you have to call Zor? If you're calling him to the meal, just about one time, if it's close. Huh? How many times do you have to call Anna? Huh? Amanda, how many times do you have to call your boys? If it's close to, if they know it's close to supper time, they come running probably. No, not necessarily. Bible says he called. He cried out with a loud, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44 says, and he that was dead, they said he was stinking, been dead 4 days, came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin, about with a napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I mean, here comes a mummy. That's how the, yeah. Or floating up. I don't know how he came, but he got out of there. And you know why they had to move the stone? Because he was bound. But he came up out of there. And the Lord called him by name. If he hadn't, everybody in the graveyard would have got up. If he'd have said, arise, Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Lazarus. Really? Everybody would have. Huh? That's why he called him by name. He was touched, the human side. He was moved by Martha and Mary's sadness. And he prayed for the people because they were listening. But the God side, said, Lazarus, you come on out of there. He was asleep in the boat, the human side. But whenever they said, Master, we're perishing, come on. He said, peace be still. And the waves hushed. We know what it is to live in a windy place. You've seen it. Imagine being able to step out there and just say, calm down. I have done them a lot of good. You know, well, I wish they'd quit. I wish the rain would quit. I wish when you're living down there in the woods and you're hearing it go through the trees, Lord, please, you'll be feeling a lot of praying. But, hey, he's able. He's able. And I said, this is going to be the first part. I got to quit now. I didn't mean to go in all that, but it was good. I enjoyed it. All right? You know when that old car is hitting on all cylinders. I was hitting on some cylinders tonight. We'll finish this next week.